I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guests, Tara and Steve Mann, are co-founder, CEO, and president of Cancer Crackdown. This is a continuation of an interview started last show. Cancer Crackdown is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Their passion is to help fighters take their battle with cancer to the next level. They are unique in that they fight alongside those battling this disease. They have developed plans and help fighters and survivors be successful and follow them to reach their overall health goals. They offer a wide variety of resources and encouragement to those fighting, those surviving, and those that wish to prevent this disease. We all have a choice in the battle against cancer, to survive or to prevent. Their mission is to be the trusted source of knowledge regarding natural therapies to defeat cancer and remain cancer-free. They partner with fighters and survivors by supporting and navigating them through their battle together. They develop a unique plan that is specific to each individual and install in them a fearless approach to winning the battle. Cancer Crackdown started on Facebook in January 2012 with a few people who wanted to share information on tips and best practices during chemotherapy. Cancer Crackdown has grown and now serves cancer fighters around the world. They help put patients in contact with practitioners in their area and locate services that may benefit their treatment. More information is available at www.cancercrackdown.org. What I'm working on now for my website is the prevention segment, and that will be primarily for people that do not have cancer, but it is appropriate for people that have cancer. And I put a little theoretical framework first. I always like to, you know, use a theoretical framework if I can. And most of the books that I've written have been theory books. And in fact, I developed an energy theory of nursing and health about 35, 40 years ago, and I refined it, and it was used in 9 or 10 countries and in education up to the doctoral level and used in research and in nursing service. But I like to use a theoretical framework, and then I have all of the things that are like primary prevention before man interacts with the disease agent, which would include things like what you do about electromagnetic frequencies, what do you do about specific chemicals in the environment that are carcinogens, what do you do about, and it's geared toward what can you do to reduce your risk related to this. And then I've integrated interviews, like I interviewed David Carpenter, who is an expert on the electromagnetic frequency. And I've got people in all, several, and I've got one I'm interviewing in the next week on chemicals that I'm going to have in there. And then, you know, I'll get into also the mental, spiritual. How do you meditate? How do you do affirmations? How do you do all of the mental, spiritual? But then I've got another section that has all of the research on all of these things. So then I, you know, refer back to those also, so that then I can use. And then I decided I needed some way to navigate, for people to navigate, because if someone comes and they are using chemo and surgery, for example, they may not be interested in the natural, or they may be interested in some of it, you know, like the nutritional aspects or the electromagnetic frequency and things like that. But they also, I'll have a section on how do you reduce the side effects of chemotherapy and of radiation and
right.
things like that. And then they also would be interested in the mental, spiritual aspects, which are so often ignored. So
right. That's great.
I'm excited about getting this, but again, it takes a lot of time to get the thing put together.
I bet. Well, it sounds very thorough, and I think that people are starting to understand more and more, but they, for the most part, don't understand the level of threats that are out there just
right.
in the air you breathe and with the EMF and things that we mm-hmm. can't see and touch. So
right.
it's so important and needed.
Right, right. Now, Tara, can you tell us then, you mentioned the cancer crackdown across America. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. We're real excited. The Cancer Crackdown Across America is something we did a little last year. We connected with a young rectal cancer fighter out of Florida that was struggling, and we were able to go to that area and meet some other cancer, well, they were survivors at the time, and spent some time there and juiced for him and brought the things that we have and let him have treatments and things like that. And really just enjoyed being able to connect with someone that we are assisting, because we assist people really all over the world, but we work with natural cancer fighters, and they're, you know, it's kind of a niche group of people. And so we're really excited to get back out there this year and connect with the natural cancer fighters that that we help, and really just as many as we can connect with, because we want to sort of help to create and spark this community in the natural cancer fighter world to where they don't feel so alone, and we want to be, you know, posting lots of pictures. We want them to see they have a family of people out there just like them. And we'll also just be looking for supporters as well for our cause. We give extensive support, so we're always looking for people that believe in our mission and want to help to fund our programs. So that will be, of course, part of what we will be out there doing, and we'll have small events in some areas and larger events just centered around getting people out. And so we'll do fun things, rebounding and juicing and lots of education and just have fun. Mm-hmm. So we will be doing local events January through March. It's really more February and March in the South Carolina area, a little bit of North Carolina, probably even Atlanta. And then Lisa, who works with us in Arizona, will be doing smaller events. And then in March, we're doing all the planning. Now we will be doing traveling and visiting different areas. We know Florida for sure. Texas will be in Idaho out at Nathan's Naturals at their clinic. We will probably be in Canada. So we are really just still filling in locations, but we're looking forward to getting out there and meeting people and really just having that in-person connection with fighters and practitioners. We've already heard from different clinics that are welcoming us to do small events and workshops and things like that.
That sounds very ambitious and sounds like a lot of work. I haven't reached that point yet. But.
Well, it is ambitious, but we, you know, our plan is to have events that are kind of packaged and then make it really easy for the volunteers on the ground to host in their area. So flyers and design work and all the stuff that goes into that is done for them up front. And so we want to be really good at this and make it easy for people to get involved, because we think that it's just so important and necessary for our community of out there, for our community of, you know, natural health nuts, I guess you could say.
Now, do you recommend the Gerson diet? I know that you had that on your website.
Well, we don't really recommend anything per se. Now, my, you know, sort of the Gerson therapy is what sparked my passion. So I love, you know, Max Gerson is, you know, kind of my very first hero, I guess, in the natural realm. Definitely follow Charlotte. We share a lot of their stuff. I have their books. Those are my, you know, I've lived in Healing the Gerson Way. So I suggest it if people can carry it out. I mean, it's a very rigorous protocol.
Right.
My hat's off to every one of them that do it, because they do it for 2 years. And, and you probably know it's 13 juices a day, fresh made, 5 coffee enemas a day. That right. is hardcore.
And full-time, so, full-time job. Right.
So I would, you know, if someone wanted to do that and they had the resources and can do it, I absolutely support it. I would, you know, help them in any way that I could. I think it's wonderful. Again, it's just a matter of if the resources are available and someone has the, you know, the fortitude to do that, to do that schedule. I'm a fan of Garson, Budwig. Yeah, those are certainly have been around for a lot of years, and they just have excellent track records. So in addition to that, you know, we have experience with a lot of different therapies and ozone. We do a little bit with now, and I think, you know, we mentioned B17 when we spoke earlier. So just so we're just always looking for ways to make it easier for people to find solutions.
Well, I juice once a day, and that takes probably 30 minutes by the time you get the vegetables ready and you juice and you clean up. And I can't imagine doing that 12, 13 times a day.
Yeah.
And then the coffee.
It's amazing what they do, and they just get their schedules down, and it's just like clockwork. So it's amazing.
Because mine, when I used the B17, it didn't involve a great deal of time. I carried the apricot kernels with me, and so I ate those off and on during the day. I think I ate 25 a day, but I could take those any time because they didn't have to be with food. And then I took the Laetrile 2,000 milligram on schedule. I think I did it breakfast, dinner, and bedtime.
And so you took it orally?
Yeah.
And you took 2,000 milligrams 4 times
a day? No, I took a total of 2,000.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow.
They don't advocate taking more. Well, Dr. Contreras now recommends that if you do all oral, that you take 3,000 the first 21 days, and then you move to 2,000 a day. But at the time, I took it, and it was, he recommended 2,000, and I think I took 1,000 at bedtime, 500 maybe at breakfast, and 500 at dinner. And then I took the Wobimogus pancreatic enzymes that are no longer available. I have a list of everything that is on the diet, where it can be obtained, and how much it costs. That one of the people that was following the protocol developed for me. And I can't remember the pancreatic enzyme that we substituted, but it's on that list. And then, of course, I used the vegan diet. I took, digestive enzymes. I took bromelain between meals as a pain reliever, I believe. I took high-dose vitamin A, and by high-dose, I mean I started at 100,000 international units, then I went to 50.
Well, and you know, carrot juice is a really good one for
right,
lung cancer.
Right, so. Definitely, right. And the normal is 5, and so I told the doctor I was very concerned about it, but he said, well, I'm going to have you take high-dose vitamin E, that will help with the toxicity from the vitamin A. Well, I took it, and I never had any side effects. But about a year and a half ago, I review the research every Sunday for cancer articles. And I saw this article about research that had been done with vitamin A with breast cancer cells. They took normal cells, they took precancerous cells, and they took cancer cells. They used the vitamin A, and it did nothing to the cancer cells. It did nothing to the normal cells, but it reverted the precancer cells back to normal, which is exactly what the doctor had told me it would do 41 years ago. Can you imagine? So practice was way ahead of the research. So I was really excited to see, you know, research that validated what the doctor had prescribed.
And that was just for a short period of time, correct?
The 1 year.
Superdosing on that?
1 year. Yeah, 1 year.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
And I did the Laetrile for 2 years, and then the spot was gone, and I stopped, and I do it occasionally. You maybe do it a month out of the year or something, but I don't do it, you know, regularly. I do, now the diet was a vegan diet, and that I thought was pretty progressive too, 41 years ago. I had the fruit, nuts, vegetables, and grains. And my diet was 90% raw, and then I could have some additional cooked vegetables. And so it would be very much like juicing now, you know, because so much of it was raw. I would sit and eat my carrots and my cabbage and all of that.
Yeah, that's what we love. We juice a lot. That's what I love about it is you can't even begin to eat that much food and get that many nutrients.
No.
So powerful.
And I think that was, I took some other vitamin Bs, and I'm not sure if I'm leaving out anything major. And then I did the prayer and the meditation and the affirmations and all of that every day. And it worked for me.
That's amazing. That's wonderful.
So, Tara, is there anything else you'd like to say then about your cancer crackdown?
Well, we really want to appeal to people out there that believe in our mission to really help people that are taking on the brave task of cancer naturally. So we need supporters. We need people that want to connect with us as we get out on the road this year to do events and things like that. So just find our, you know, we're at cancercrackdown.org. There's a lot of resources on there. You can learn about our cancer mentors, link up with us on our page on Facebook. We try to post daily. We do have for cancer fighters, we do have our support group still on Facebook, the one that kind of where it all started. So we just want to connect with people and continue our passion of spending our hours helping our heroes, which are natural cancer fighters just like you.
Mm-hmm. Great. And would you give us your website then again?
It's cancercrackdown.org. We also have a store, shop.cancercrackdown.org, and that is what allows us to help people with really good discounts, and it actually supports our Fighting Together program as well. So for people that are battling cancer and struggling with cost of supplements, you know, we certainly are here to help with that as well if our store can do that for people. Mm-hmm. So cancercrackdown.org and shop.cancercrackdown.org is where you'll find us.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Tara. It's been interesting, and I'm always happy to hear of other organizations that can be utilized with the cancer patients. So I really appreciate this very much.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your time and just making Cancer Crackdown available to your listeners. It's wonderful to have your audience, because you are definitely, like I said, you've been out there for a long time, and it's just great to have your support and partnership.
Thank you. My second guest is Bernice Yoder, a 9-year pancreatic cancer survivor. Bernice says, "I will be a 9-year pancreatic cancer survivor this coming November. When I found out I had cancer, I had no idea what pancreatic cancer was. It had never touched my immediate or extended family. It was something you heard of or read about, not something that happened to you. This illness changed my life. It gave me more will to live, to be able to finish raising my then 13-year-old daughter, who had just lost her dad 15 months before. It taught me to fight and to never give up. There is always hope, even though there is pain and grief and anger. That is part of this terrible illness. I am proud to say I am a survivor of one of the deadliest cancers. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Bernice, and I look forward to hearing about your treatment of pancreatic cancer. Now, first, as you know, Bernice, recovery from pancreatic cancer is rare. Can you tell us when you were first diagnosed?
I got seriously ill and was diagnosed right at the beginning of November of 2007. I ended up in the hospital in the emergency room with jaundice. And when they started looking around, at first they thought I had gallbladder stones that were blocking the bile duct system. And then they realized when they went in that it was a tumor at the head of my pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
So they went through a biopsy. Complicated procedure, took a couple of hours, and then they informed me that I had adenocarcinoma or pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They let me know what my options were. And so, of course, when you get a diagnosis like that, you pretty much open yourself to whatever it is that team of doctors is telling you or guiding you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had, at that time, a 13-year-old daughter who we had just lost her dad. My husband had passed away a year before, so we were going to do whatever we were going to do
mm-hmm.
to make it work so that I could survive.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I went under the knife and had what is currently called the Whipple procedure to do, basically to give me the best opportunity to survive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is a type of surgery?
Yes, the Whipple procedure is a very complicated surgery. It basically, they open you up, and if they look and see inside your body that the cancer has not spread to other major organs, then basically at that time they make the determination whether to proceed and move forward with a complete surgery or basically just, you know, close you up and let you know, look, these are your options. However, you know, you might not make it. For me, when they approached me with a surgery, I said, of course. When they opened me up, they realized that the cancer was still very localized to a certain section of the pancreas
mm-hmm.
that may be eligible for the surgery. And so basically what they did is they took half of my pancreas out.
Mm-hmm.
They reworked all the bile duct system. They took the gallbladder out, part of my stomach, about 6 feet of my intestine, and then they put me back together.
Mm-hmm.
They removed three tubes. So that's what they did for me. And it's called the Whipple procedure. It's extensive.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the knife for about 8 hours.
Oh. And did they want to do chemo and radiation?
Yes. And they, at first they told me that with the Whipple procedure, the surgery, they had taken out all the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What I found out is that I didn't have adenocarcinoma of their pancreas. I had neuroendocrine tumors in the pancreas and the surrounding areas, and they were encapsulated. They were still within. They hadn't started to spread through the lymphatic system
mm-hmm.
or into the other major organs of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought everything was okay until they got the pathology. They biopsied the tumors, and then they realized that the cancer that I had inside the tumors within the pancreas that they removed was small cell lung cancer, which is, as we all know, a very aggressive
mm-hmm.
cancer,
mm-hmm.
just as aggressive as pancreatic cancer. So they let me know that I had a better chance of surviving if I underwent a very aggressive, stringent chemotherapy treatment as well as radiation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I did it.
You did the chemo.
I did the chemo. It made me extremely sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was hospitalized several times. I couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
It burned my bone from my hips down to my ankles. It affected my spine, and it was quite terrible. However, every time they tested my blood, or they did the CT scans, they were seeing no signs of the cancer cells. So I continued to
do chemo every week for 6 months until the last CT scan showed no evidence of the disease. I also went through radiation right after my chemo treatment was completed, which was in April of 2008. I went in to have radiation every day for 6 weeks in my stomach and my back.
And what was your prognosis initially? How long did they give you?
The prognosis that I was giving after the surgery was fairly good until they realized I not only had pancreatic cancer, but I had small cell lung cancer within the tumors that they removed. So they gave me 3 to 6 months. And although I opted to go through the chemotherapy treatment, they continued to tell me that I had just a few months of life because they could not determine with all certainty that the chemo was going to work and it was going to prevent any cancer from spreading to the liver or the lungs or other areas of my body that would basically shut it down. So I was given 6 months to live.
And what tests did they use to follow your progress?
Even after 8 years, there is still no test available out there that can tell you if you have pancreatic cancer. For me, they were looking to, I had to do very specialized blood work, and I had to undergo what is called a PET scan, which is a radiation scan. Basically, they inject radiation into your body, and it lights it up from the inside, and it basically shows if there's activity of cancer cells within your body. So I was undergoing PET scans every 6 months, and I was having blood work done every week, looking for signs in the kidneys, the liver, or in the lungs that the cancer was spreading. Because no scan can literally go inside into your body and say, okay, you still have cancer cells there, not for the pancreas. It's hidden behind the stomach.
Then did you, I believe that you also did some alternative natural interventions?
I did. I got into yoga and meditation. Because of the surgery, I started to look to certain supplements, herbal supplements that would basically help me out, especially because the chemo was making me so ill. And because they took half of the pancreas, I became an insulin-dependent diabetic immediately after the surgery. And so since chemo most of the time prohibits you from basically eating, I started to lose a tremendous amount of weight. So I went literally online to look for alternative supplements, drinks that would give me the energy that I needed so that I could keep on going. To be very honest with you, I looked everywhere I could, and I ended up finding a combination of supplements, nutritional supplements, and nutritional drinks that basically sustained me so that I could get through the fact that I couldn't eat very well. There was certain remedies such as very specialized, not specialized, but certain specific fruits that I could have and vegetables that I could have with the vitamins that I was taking, the supplements and minerals that I was taking, so that I could have the energy and I wouldn't be hospitalized continuously. I meditated a lot.
Great. Yeah, I meditate every day and it helps a lot. Can you share with us some of the supplements then that you took?
Oh, my goodness.
You mean there's a lot of them?
Yes. I did anything from basically supplements that contained quite a bit of enzymes because I was no longer producing enzymes. The chemo was doing a job on my stomach area. And so I went to stuff like plant enzymes, no animal, fruit enzymes that would help me. I did the extracts for drinks so that I could have energy. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, it was just an array of them. Mm-hmm. And since I could no longer absorb some of the vitamins, much needed vitamins and supplements that your body needs once the surgery occurred, I basically started giving myself a lot of vitamin D. I had to take a lot of vitamin C and nutrients, vitamin E, B12 supplements that would give me the energy to basically make my body strong. I took them in drink format. I took them in pill format. I moved on to the drinking format once the pills weren't working because I couldn't absorb all of the dietary good stuff from them.
Did you juice?
Yes, I did. I was basically doing a lot of fruits, mixing it in with a lot of spinach. It wasn't the most, you know, tasty smoothies I was creating, but I found that they gave me the energy that I needed to continue to just, you know, keep fighting it. Because I did not hear them when they were telling me that I was going to die, that I only had 6 months. I needed to get beyond that. And so without hurting my body and with the assistance of the nutritionist there at the oncology department, I was able to find a regimen of vegetables and fruits that my body could basically sustain to continue to help me out.
And I think I understood you to say you went vegan.
I basically, yes, I had to, for a short period of time, I basically gave up all protein. It was very difficult to process. I still have a lot of difficulty processing meats. So for the most part, I stick to vegetables and fruits, grains, legumes that are very low or non-existent, don't have fat in order to stay as healthy as possible. Because of the surgery, I suffer from chronic pancreatitis. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And pancreatitis is the inflammation of the pancreas. And for me, I can't afford to have episodes because I can lose what's left of it. And, well, my quality of life will basically decrease significantly. So I do vegetables. I juices. I do smoothies. I do shakes. I don't drink dairy. I don't intake any dairy products anymore. No cheeses, no yogurts, no milks. I do substitutes, soy milk. I go and shop at what is it called, an organic food store within the here in the city, and I buy organic. I stay away from the fertilizers. I stay away from the hormones as far as when I do eat meat, I eat shrimp. I mean, when I eat protein, I usually do shrimp, or I basically concentrate on organic chicken or turkey because they're the easiest for me to break down and be able to eat.
I was on a vegan diet when I had lung cancer. I thought that was very progressive of my doctor 41 years ago, but he put me on a vegan diet, and I had the fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. And then recently, I went back on it because I had atrial fibrillation, a heart problem. And the doctor didn't recommend it, but a naturopathic doctor friend did. And so I went back on it. And I'm finding that more and more of the cardiologists are recommending a vegan diet for that. So I've given up milk and eggs and cheese and everything. The cheese is the most difficult. I miss that the most. I don't miss the chicken and the fish as much, but you get used to it.
Yes, you do. I haven't had dairy products in over 3 years. I just, if they're not part of my life anymore, they make me very ill. I don't suffer, basically, I don't suffer from any other health issues with the exception of what the chemotherapy did to my body. I have fibromyalgia and osteoporosis.
It
affected me severely. It did a number on my bones. And actually, even though, I mean, the side effects to chemotherapy, at least the one I was given, are extreme. I mean, tumors. So I have two nodules in my lungs. I have a tumor in my leg, and they're not cancerous, but they were basically as a result of the chemotherapy and the radiation. Mm-hmm. There's no other reason why I sprouted tumors in other part of my body. That was what the oncologists were able to determine.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, and with the pancreatitis, the inflammation of the pancreas, what's left of my pancreas, you basically have to cut down as much fat, if not all fat, from your diet. However, because I'm also a diabetic due to that, mm-hmm. due to the pancreatic cancer, I have to have a very well-balanced, regimen.
Mm-hmm.
I need those grains and I need those legumes that I would otherwise be giving up as a diabetic, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
because they carry some, like breads, even with bread or the grains, that you can eat, they still carry sugars that basically affect me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have a tendency to go towards a lot of green stuff rather than any carb-based or fat-based foods.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, juices. I have my smoothie every morning.
Mm-hmm.
My fruit and some of the vegetables that I've been able to, put in there. I love mm-hmm. tomato juice.
Mm-hmm.
I love carrot juice. So what I've done is I've made a combination of tomato, carrot, and orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of those every morning, and it gives me a lot of energy, and it keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. Do most of the people that you know that are survivors have to be as particular about their diet as you are?
Yes. We on Facebook, there is the Whipple procedure or the Whipple surgery support group.
Mm-hmm.
It is an extreme surgery. A lot of doctors compare it to having a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they basically take so much out and then they put you back together and hope that you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we don't do dairy products at all whatsoever. We stay away from red meats or high-fat meat that we can no longer process.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the surgery gives you major malabsorption issues. They take part of the stomach and the intestine that helps you break down and absorb what you need. And so, breaking down meats, breaking down dairy products or high fatty foods is really hard. It's
mm-hmm.
terrible
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with this procedure. It's just one of those things. You have to change your diet completely.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Bernice, how long did it take to overcome the cancer? Or can you not make a distinction between when it was over and the aftermath?
So, for me, overcoming the cancer, it took me a year.
Oh. Mm.
They put me in remission because of the blood work and the scans in late 2008. But I suffered from the side effects of what I had to do in order to basically kill the cancer cells
mm-hmm.
to this
mm-hmm.
date.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, I'm still recovering from it. I might not have cancer per se.
Mm-hmm.
I'm NED, no evidence of the disease, and I've been for basically 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the side effects of the treatments that I underwent in order to give me the best opportunity to survive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. There is no distinction. I mm-hmm. have my good days and I have my real bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And I still see an oncologist every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I still have PET scans every twice a year. I have CT scans 3 times a year. I have to have bone tests every year. I have to basically do enzyme tests at least 4 times out of the year to make sure that I am functioning as well as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be honest with you, you're always in recovery
mm-hmm.
from the mm-hmm. cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily go away. I don't know anybody that can, at least have personally told me they've been able to basically say, I've overcome and I'm done with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We live, for you as a cancer survivor, we live with mm-hmm. with it. We live mm-hmm. with the aftermath of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So basically your care since the end of the actual cancer has been, you've continued with your diet, you do meditation, you do yoga. Is that basically it? Is prayer involved?
Yes, I am a person of faith. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to have a very specific religion,
mm-hmm.
I believe
mm-hmm.
in God,
mm-hmm.
that what my family and friends' prayers mm-hmm. to God assisted me with surviving. I was given a death sentence. I was actually given
mm-hmm.
how many months I had to live. And so I believe that there was something greater
mm-hmm.
than just mm-hmm. the medicine or the nutrition regimen that I'm following that has permitted me
mm-hmm.
to still be alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the doctors are surprised that I am
right.
still alive.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't have a specific religion, but I believe in something beyond us, and I believe in practicing the spiritual attributes, patience, faith, love, forgiveness, etc., and to live the best life I can live. So I'm with you.
I believe in karma. I mean, yoga and meditation, that's one of those things, karma. I mean, what you put out there
yep.
will come back to you. And so I believe that that's completely applicable to my physical
mm-hmm.
body.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever good I do to my body will basically then mm-hmm. present itself in a better quality of life
mm-hmm.
for me.
Great.
And so, yes, I do yoga 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I do meditation. I follow my regimen of, you know, trying to stay away from high-fat meat foods as best as possible. You know, we're all human. We're
right.
not perfect.
Right, right.
Sometimes, you know, you get... you know, a craving for that hamburger that you know you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Right.
Every day is a test.
Right, right. Bernice, if you had it to do over again, would you select the treatments that you've had?
Yes, because I do believe all of it mm-hmm. allowed for
mm-hmm.
me
mm-hmm.
to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. It was horrible. It was excruciatingly painful. I can't describe what the treatment does to you unless you've gone through it. You,
mm-hmm.
there's no way of describing
mm-hmm.
what it does to your mind, what it does to your body. But I genuinely do believe that it saved my life. It was part of what saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
I am here. My body was able to tolerate it, and I am here because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was a combination
mm-hmm.
of, you know, the holistic
mm-hmm.
or the alternative medicine approach with the regular practiced approach of radiation and chemotherapy. I believe that assisted me.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, I'm 8 years.
Right.
8 years, November 19th.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. That
Thank
is really
you, and
fantastic.
Congratulations to you as well.
Mm-hmm. And I use the holistic approach, and I'm, as you know, I still subscribe to that because I believe that the mental, spiritual are just as important as the physical aspects. So,
yes, they are.
Is there anything else you would like to add then, Bernice, before we talk about any books, products, or services that you have?
You know, to be honest with you,
mm-hmm.
I will just say to whoever listens to this, never give up on hope.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way for us to survive and to continue to survive. I have faith. I do believe in the medicine that was given to me. So just continue to
mm-hmm.
hope. Don't ever give up.
Mm-hmm.
Stay positive at all times. Fine. Whatever will keep you positive, whether it's religion or family or friends, whatever that thing is that will keep you optimistic and
mm-hmm.
in a positive path, just do it.
Mm-hmm. That's very special coming from you, Bernice. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Now, do you have any books, products, or services that you would like to talk about?
No, sir, I don't.
No.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything of that sort. I just, what I do for my well-being,
mm-hmm.
and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we kind of share with the other pancreatic cancer survivors that I know, we just kind of share mm-hmm. with each other what's working
mm-hmm.
for all of us, so that maybe tomorrow that will be the one thing that will make Eric or, you know, Allison, mm-hmm. some out mm-hmm. there in the United States feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this so much, Bernice. It's been interesting. I know it will be helpful to those that come to the website and have pancreatic to hear that there is hope, that it's not a death sentence, and that you've gone through it and you're still here. You know, others that have gone through it and are still here. So this is a very important message, I believe, to get out there to, you know, other people who have cancer. So I appreciate it so much.
No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
Thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.